Sessions, please take a moment to take a look at the antitrust policy notice that we have right here. Just to reiterate, you know, obviously all are welcome to attend this meeting, and you know, please, you know, look forward to having folks kind of speak. And I think you guys all started the conversation right on point with the topic for today, and which is really discussing the racial injustice and ways that we can apply blockchain technology to resolve some of these issues. And so, you know, I think the main purpose of this is just to be an open forum to get some ideas flowing and going, and to see kind of where, you know, folks are at and where you guys think that the opportunities are to kind of for us to all jump in and help in certain areas. So we'll kind of go through the overall agenda, but I see that there's some new folks that are on board today. The main thing is we're going to probably discuss a little bit about, you know, what we do as the social impact special interest group, some of the activities, projects, and workstreams we've been working on. And we'd love for, you know, the greater community to give us some feedback and other ways that we should be tailoring some of our focus as well going forward. And then we'll jump into the community discussion. And, you know, I just have here just a few articles. You know, this is not an exhaustive article list, but just some things to help us hopefully just kind of jumpstart ideas and our thoughts and just get the conversation going. And then kind of opening up the floor in different areas. So just a quick preview of that. So without further ado, so one thing that Karen brought to my attention, and unfortunately our meeting was held after this, but if you guys have been participating in the social impact, we had one of our presenters, BlockForce, actually presenting that presented to us back in November 2019. So they presented again at the Hyperledger Austin meetup event. So we'll try to highlight some of these announcements going forward, especially for folks that have been a part of it. But if there are also other presentations that you think would be beneficial for members to engage in, free to add these to our meeting agenda so that we can surface this out to the broader community and get everyone engaged in that. So just to quickly start, let's do a round of introductions just because I see that we have some new folks on here, and so we can all learn what we're all working on in the Washington impact for social good. So I can quickly start social impact special interest group. I've been a part of this group for almost a year now. It's coming up soon. My interest in the social impact space has been in kind of the environmental and clean energy sector, where I'm working on cases for peer-to-peer energy transactions. So with moving on to the next person, so Mike McCoy, I see that you're on the call. Can you quickly give us an introduction? Thanks.
Yeah. Hi, everyone. My name is Mike McCoy. I'm Director of Platform Integration and Technical Partnerships at Consensus Health. I've been part of the Blockchain for Social Impact Coalition that the Ethereum Foundation has hosted ever since 2017. And I've been a part of many different working groups. I joined Consensus Health officially back in April 6th of this past year. Before that, I was at Accenture working the Strategic Growth Initiative and looking at helping with the ID 2020 and a lot of different other working groups. So just a general interest. And I also run a meetup in Philadelphia called Blockchain for Social Impact Philadelphia that's connected with our Blockchain and Healthcare Today group as well. And so a lot of different working groups I'm a part of, but I have distinct use cases that not only we're kind of working on Consensus Health, but for other partnerships around the world that I'd love to discuss in detail at some point as well. So thank you.
Thanks, Mike. We'd love to kind of listen to some of the initiatives that you guys are working on. So, you know, we could definitely speak about that at a later point. Hi, Brian.
Hey, good morning. I'm Brian Bellendorf. I'm Executive Director of Hyperledger. And I feel like trying to make the world a better place, trying to make it a more fair, equitable place is why I jumped into this space 4 years ago. As the world is convulsed in the last few weeks, I've been, really trying to think about where has blockchain technology been applied that would have a measurable impact that has had an impact. And, you know, coming up a bit shorter than I would have liked. And I'm really determined to try to find with all of you, with our community, where are there places where we could really partner with civil society organizations or, you know, social justice organizations to find an actual application we could apply ourselves to. Something could rally some focus on, because I'm sick of the state of the world. I don't know about the rest of you, and want to figure out how we use special powers to try to fight it. Right. So that's why I'm here. That's big part of why I work on Hyperledger is to try to fight for justice in a way different than other people might. But I really think there's something here. So that's why I'm really happy to be on this call.
Absolutely. Thank you so much for joining. Hey, Karen.
Hi. So I'm Karen Ottoni. I'm also with the Hyperledger staff. I'm on our ecosystem team that works to support our special interest group community. So I've been involved with the Social Impact SIG from its very inception, back in, I think, fall 2018 is when we first started this group. And I'm based here in New York City, and I come from a background of the sort of social impact world. I used to work on USAID projects in sub-Saharan Africa, implementing projects in a variety of different areas, agriculture, finance, policy reform. So I also got excited about blockchain for its impact potential, and I'm always excited to see how we can keep it to that mission.
Thanks, Karen. Hi, Alicia.
Hi. Hi, everyone. My name is Alicia Noel, and I do research and consulting related to food supply chain innovation. I got involved in that because I lived in China for 8 years, where food fraud led to a lot of food safety problems. And when I learned about blockchain and how it creates an immutable record, I saw that the use case there and the possible impact, and I've gotten very excited about the possibility for equity for a lot of different players in supply chain as well as in other industries. I also am the co-editor of a research collection being put together for an academic journal on blockchain uses for social and economic equity in agriculture and food production. So if anyone is involved in using blockchain for agriculture or knows projects that that are focused on that, please let me know. I recently sent a note out over the listserv that we've pushed the deadline for research for the collection back to September 30th. So there's still time for companies or other researchers to include work in the research collection. That'll go into the book.
Hey, Alicia, if I don't mind interjecting, I'm working with a couple different groups in the kind of the BC healthcare realm that I don't know if you heard of Artifacts before, and I'm sure you heard of Blockchain Healthcare Today.
Those are not on my radar, no. Are they doing anything food supply chain related?
Yeah, so there's different use cases. Obviously, they're food supply chain, not obviously, but they are food supply chain related. But we're also creating kind of like a listserv based on the Artifacts platform that's going over all use cases. There's social impact realms that are connected to it. There's healthcare, there's life science, but then there's also kind of the ag and the food supply chain use cases, as you're mentioning too. So I don't know if our different collaborative minds can help assess research and journal entries together, if that's specifically what you're working on, but we're creating a listserv of industry for that, and maybe it can be a good collaboration.
That's great. I'm making a note to follow up with you after the call.
Please, I'll send my email in the chat too.
Great, thanks.
Awesome.
Yeah, I have a couple examples that I could suggest to you, Alicia, as well, so I'll send you an email.
Oh, perfect. Thank you.
This is great. This is exactly the type of collaboration we're looking for. and then also, I see also a menu.
Hi, yes, my name is Mingyu. I am also on the Hyperledger team, working with Karen and Brian. part of what I do that's related to this topic is I help coordinate the Hyperledger Summer Mentorship Program. And I've seen this year after year. We have some problem, getting enough interns or mentees from the underrepresented segments of the population. I think we're getting better geographically, but in terms of gender and just racial backgrounds, we are still just, have a long way to go. So I'm just here to listen to see, what ideas I can get from, these discussions that are going on in our community, to see what else we can do, right, for future programs, programming in the future years. So yeah.
No, I appreciate that. And I think, I think you just mentioned, potential, in a way we can call it, consider it like a use case, right? Where we're, how can we really get folks that are underrepresented to be more involved into various sectors, and right now we have folks that are interested in the blockchain technology. So how do we get, folks that are underrepresented in STEM and these, high tech sectors to make it easier for them to get access to that? So that would be definitely something that we can discuss a little bit, and hopefully we can get some insights from the folks to how we can better do that and facilitate those.
Yep, exactly. Thanks.
Thanks. So just to quickly recap a little bit, some of the activities that we've been working on, and I'll try to keep this conversation short because I think we're really interested about the special topic that we have for today. But a couple things that we get interested in here, we kind of spoke with the...
Up a bit.
Move it up.
Your audio is breaking up a bit.
Oh, I'm sorry.
It's a little choppy.
Oh. Is this a little bit better? I'm trying to move closer to the modem. Can you guys hear?
It's better now.
Okay, good. All right, sorry about that. So, so what I was saying in the beginning was just like, in the beginning of the year, we kind of reached out to the community members and we identified a couple of different initiatives that we wanted to work on as a community. And most of them revolved around, if you're new to the group, how are ways that you can get involved? But also really kind of framing that focus to, I'm new to social impact and I'm also new to blockchain, right? How do we kind of bridge those two together and help folks that are interested in finding use cases? And as well as get access to the right types of information. So kind of in line with, serving folks that are trying to get more ingrained into the space, but two of the initiatives that we kind of started was creation of like a SIG new member center, as well as a resource center. These are kind of right, still in the beginning portions of this. So if you actually navigate right now to our side, we have the Workstream and Projects group. And then here we have like the community liaison, as well as our access to the new member center and then the resource center. So with the member center, it's really just walking through. So if you're new, you get the Linux ID information. How do you subscribe to our mailing list, as well as get, be able to speak with us or reach out on Rocket Chat channel, as well as the events calendar, and then all, also our antitrust policy. But the real focus of this is, so what do we do as a group? What do I need to do to become a member, and how do I get involved? So it's just a quick piece of, section to kind of get the information that you need and be able to kind of get more involved in the initiatives. One that, I think we've been trying to get some more feedback is, from your perspective, we would love to kind of hear if there are any things that we should be incorporating or adding or just fine-tuning to make the center just more informative for folks as they're looking to join. So I can pause for a sec, but if you guys have any comments, you feel free to add them to this page as well. So, yep. So one of the other pages that we created, also that was identified by the community was, this is my way, sorry, was the creation of a resource center. So we have kind of different sectors that social impact touches or is a part of or is a driving factor of, which includes, and I think we talked a little bit about with Alicia, like the agriculture, the climate environment, digital identity, financial empowerment, some of the things that we'll be talking about today. governance and democracy, as well as, you know, health and wellness and cross-cutting technologies. And so, you know, one thing that we're right now just in the process of trying to of populating is, you know, how do we get various, you know, groups together. You know, we also have various social and special interest group, and Mike, we'd be more than happy to also incorporate some of the consensus working groups that are also working in this direction. But, you know, having consolidated resources for folks that are new or, you know, looking to broaden or, you know, their horizon in the social impact space. So that's something that's currently still work in progress. And we'd love for folks, you know, for you guys to give us insights on, you know, articles that we're missing or any thoughts that you guys have on how we can improve this and make this something that could be used for the broader community. So any comments, any suggestions, feedback?
I really like having this because it's such a social impact is cross-cutting, and so it can be, you know, hard to find and find out what is going on where, because there's so much being done so everywhere. I know we've been talking about these topics for a while. It'd be great to add more into the agriculture from Alicia's work. And Mike, it'd be awesome to have you share with us what your groups are working on too.
I have a question. There's the social sector, agriculture, and land rights. When I read that, my interpretation is the land rights section of agriculture. So things that are that are related to, say, a track and trace that makes sure that the producers are being compensated fairly, because that's not land rights related, I don't think that that's necessarily going under an agriculture and land rights. Is that meant to be all things agriculture plus all things land rights, or specifically the land rights subsection of agriculture?
So I think we were trying to target a broader focus for, you know, the overall ag industry and then any associated land rights topics and issues. But if that is something that is, you know, you feel is a little bit ambiguous or could be interpreted ambiguous, we'd be more than happy to modify that so that it's just more clear for folks that are interested in this.
Okay. I'll put some brain power into thinking if there's just an easy way to phrase that makes it obviously more inclusive. In the meantime, there's a couple of links I can add there this week.
Awesome. Sounds great. And then Mike, I think you were.
So for one, at Consensus Health, we have a public partnership that will hopefully soon be able to advertise to everybody or relate to others to ask for more of a open source working group and helping us create this. You could think of it as part of the solution is an incentivization mechanism for vulnerable populations to be able to utilize blockchain technology. And we are going to be basing that off of Hyperledger Bazoo. I can't publicly release it yet, but that's something I see in the near term future that we'd love to be able to engage the working group with. And then I also have more, I guess, public facing working groups there's a group at Temple University here in Philadelphia, North Philadelphia, that unfortunately in this 20 to 25 block radius within Philadelphia, most people die of heroin and drug overdoses more than anywhere else in the whole entire state, just within a 20 block radius. And within that 20 block radius, there's a really great working group of agricultural graduates and one that actually came from the university that's trying to use blockchain for kind of like land rights in agriculture on the provenance of her food production and then being able to distribute that to distributors for not only giving it to humanitarian services, nonprofit services, but also for profit as well. I don't know if this type of working group, I know it's a small regional thing and this would probably want to be more global and have a global impact with blockchain technology, but that's a working group I know we can get a real life sample within an inner city community that could be of relevance for some folks too. But I definitely know the public partnership that we at Consensus Health are looking to build. We would love this group to be a part of it in some type of way, shape, or form, whether it's open sourcing different work or being able to just be a part of what we build.
Mike, I think you raised you're hitting all the points that I think we would definitely agree with. So, I think we can chat offline and figure out how we can kind of get more involved on some of the issues that you guys are working on and, I think it would be great if we could also have the participants to us at one of these events and see if we can get some other community members that, can't join this call or, for a future call. Get them involved and see if they're willing to share some of their thoughts and ideas as well and get that conversation going.
Yeah, for an example, this week actually for HIMSS, I'm sure you guys are familiar with the major conference. Unfortunately, it was canceled in March due to COVID-19, but there's a HIMSS 20 digital conference that's being released. We're recording sessions this week, and I think they'll be released in early July, maybe mid-July. We're recording a session this week specifically on blockchain for vulnerable populations in a global impact. And we have a population health expert from George Washington University, who's also an advisor to our company. We have someone that's part of UNDP based in Istanbul, who's going to be discussing different things they're doing in the Middle East and in North Africa. So very relevant talking point that we could be able to, obviously, we're doing for HIMSS this week, we could be able to reform it for Hyperledger Social Impact Special Interest Group or some other folks too. So we'd love to be a part of that as well.
That sounds great. That'd be great. So any other, feedback and comments for this? And then, I think what, this is exactly the type of conversation we're going for because we wanted to, at this point, we're at the midpoint of this year, and we wanted to kind of see where are the interests of the community and kind of where we should be heading as a community and developing different types of material. I think going forward, these are all, I think, great ideas that are made very timely. All right, so I'm going to just quickly move on. So, a couple other things that we're working on. One of them is a state of social impact blog post. And I think this could be something that we could, get more engagement around. One of the things that we've been realizing is that because social impact is so broad, I think a lot of folks have been very ingrained in the specific areas. But sometimes it's like, just to get everyone's focus on, all right, like, let's try to find use cases specifically that enable better or more social good. So one of the things that we're in the process of developing, and we'll, Alicia, I'm going to have to meet with you this week to discuss this more, but we're going to be bringing out like an outline on how we're going to phrase the social impact blog post. And this could be something that we could work with various groups and various, so Mike, if you guys have some material you guys would like to contribute to that, we'd love to kind of get that input in there as well. So that's something that's going to be forthcoming. And once we have some of the outlines for that out, I'll be posting that to the mailing list just so that everyone has access to it and can contribute to some of the preliminary thoughts that we have on how to better scope this. So this will be something that we'll be working with the Hyperledger team very closely to make sure that we do get this out in a timely manner. One of the other things, so just to quickly recap, one of the conversations that we had in the last call was around Amazon Web Services and their one of their use cases that they're looking into, which is around animal ID and really focusing on the traceability of animals that are in shelters. And if we can help them, for example, one of the use cases was navigate and be able to find their owners if they were lost, or in other cases, be able to track their health profiles and be able to work with them on that. So I don't know if there was any added comments to that, but one of the things that we're going to be working on is probably working with AWS a little bit more to help them refine their use case a little bit. So that's something that's forthcoming. Just wanted to, recap if anyone had any comments or ideas following that last meeting that we had with them. All right, and then one other thing. So just to kind of make sure that we're engaging for folks. So just based off of some of the things that we've been working on, are there any other thoughts that that you guys had or any other things that you guys think would be important for us to kind of consider in scoping into our next phase of, you know, work streams and projects? Any comments, ideas? We'll probably have another session after this. So the next session, we'll probably focus a little bit more on scoping some of this out. But I did want to just make sure that we had that open. All right. So, oh, yeah. What were you saying?
I'm going to add, I'd like to find a way to go to some of the developer communities around the different Hyperledger projects and tap into whatever latent interest there might be out there in using their skills to work on projects in this space. I think there's a lot of contributors or and developers and others who are don't know how, don't know where to plug in, aren't connected to the ground on some of these kinds of projects. And I'd love to provide kind of a vehicle for them to know where they could productively volunteer their time. So I don't know if that needs to be new content created or just a way of kind of describing the content that's been created so far, but I'm really keen to find a place that I can direct some of their attention to.
Brian, that would be really extremely helpful and beneficial for us. You know, I think especially as, you know, we're identifying various use cases, it's really, it's going to be, an exchange with the developer communities. We can think of the world, but, you know, what are actually, what is that roadmap to get there and be able to help implement that and really see those in action, especially on behalf of the special interest group and getting that out there with and getting folks to actually use these solutions. So Brian, I'll probably reach out to you once we have something a little bit more concrete on some of the various initiatives.
Yeah, perfect.
Thanks.
So we believe there's an interest in and wanting to bring in more people from the Blockchain Social Impact Coalition working group, or do we think those are conflicting interests at the moment?
No, I would definitely think that, you know, there's definitely an opportunity for us to collaborate, right? It's more the merrier, and in no way would that be something that's limiting. So we'd love to make reach out to them while back interest there. So if you have these two entities, you know, we'd love to do that.
Not at all, Mike. It would, you know, it would be great to have them come to our meetings. Maybe Nancy, you could go to their meeting and share with them about our SIG, and cross collaboration is totally something we'd be excited to do. I was actually at the Blockchain for Social Impact Coalition inception, like when it was like the very, very first meeting here in New York, and was involved in it in the beginning, but haven't been lately since they kind of, since like about 2019 or so.
It's had a lot of evolutions for sure.
But there's
been a lot of interesting projects that have kind of come out of it, I'd say. For one, they gave a presentation about 2 weeks ago, or maybe it was a week ago, about how they created a global procurement payment system for Colombia in particular that helped against procurement fraud. They use kind of the Ethereum EVM to be able to use it as an audit and transaction ledger, as we all could assume. But what they did was they were able to predict or enforce. They had about 30 to 40% of fraud that happened in regards to digital ID accounts and to misattributed payments. They were able to give that money back to the Colombian government over a 6-month trial, I believe. And in that research trial, they were able to get it from 30 to 40% down to, I think, just about 3 or 4. And so there's different, it's a different example that you could be able to utilize for social impact groups on fraudulent payments and things like that. But one example to go off of.
Yeah, that would be great. Yeah, definitely. So I'll follow up with you after this call and we can see what we can do with the various initiatives. Yeah.
I have a question. I just wonder if there's any like a small, narrowly scoped project that would have some sort of a positive social impact that maybe somebody in this group or somebody like a developer in the community that could step up to mentor. I mean, you know, Hyperledger has its own mentorship program, but the Linux Foundation, which Hyperledger is part of, they have a, it's called Expanded Linux Foundation Mentorship. And that's a kind of a year-round from this year all the way through next year. And Linux Foundation has some funding and they're actually looking, actively looking for developers to submit projects. And we already, Linux Foundation already has the funding. So if somebody can write up a project proposal that you know, has some of these really good social impact hopefully the project is needs to be well-defined, right? Like narrowly defined, appropriate for new developers to work on. And there'll be some, you know, maybe somebody from this group or the community to kind of mentor the mentee. I can drop the link here. They're, they do this year round. Here, I'll just put in the chat here.
All right.
And take a look, it runs through Community Bridge.
Okay, that'd be great. Yeah, I think that's something, so I think I mentioned a little bit like about the Animal ID project, but I think we're trying to get that one off the ground, and that's going to be something that we're actually going to be working with the AWS to develop some code bases and help them refine tune their projects. So that could be something good, maybe scope out a project and be able to submit to that.
That sounds great. I mean, even in the proposal, you can say, I'm looking for 3 people to work on this project, for example. As long as the proposal is well, you know, defined and well written. I mean, Linux Foundation is looking to fund mentorship projects.
That'd be great. So would you be the point of contact that we could reach out to once we have something in the works?
I can be the liaison. I can definitely, put you in touch with the right people and also the process.
Okay.
For sure. Yep.
That'd be amazing. Okay. That sounds great. Thank you. Mm-hmm.
So the deadline's till June 31st to submit a project where mentors can join onto. Is that it? I'm sorry.
No, this is just for the first round. I know the dates seem a little bit confusing, but really, the dates on this page is just for the first round. They probably haven't updated. Oh, actually, if you look at the program start date, they have first program, second program, and third program. So I think they just finished up the second round project proposal review. And I think they're probably looking for the third round where the mentees can start officially on September 1st.
Oh, gotcha. Okay.
So they can just work with specific teams. And as long as they're using the technology that's on the right here, Intel and Linux are sponsoring those mentees to be part of these teams and projects. Is that correct?
Correct. I mean, this is just a list of, you know, most common technologies, but other technology, obviously blockchain is one of them. You can just use the form there to submit. The form is open all the time. And then they just have some dates where they, you know, define kind of, they're pulling people at the Linux Foundation to review these proposals that come in and see if it's, you know, worthwhile project to give the funding to or not.
To be fair, we use this whole stack, so I mean, that works perfect, yeah.
Yeah, take a look. I think that might be a good resource. If you have like a project that you're looking for developer resources and looking to mentor new developers into the space.
Yeah, for that vulnerable populations one, we definitely could use more devs on that, so
yep.
Thank you.
Sure.
That sounds great, thank you. Mm-hmm. All right, so any other things that you guys, any other comments? All right, so I just want to kind of bring attention to just a couple articles, and I'm, you know, like I said, this is not an exhaustive list in any way of thinking or any, you know, topics with this, but just want to use this as like a primer for various discussions that have taken place over time about the racial inequality, especially as it pertains to in finance and ways that blockchain technology can be applied. So this was an article. I don't know if you guys have read this yet, but it's I can throw this in the chat if you guys want to also read on your own. So this is the first, So this was one of the articles that was published back in February, just in time for the Black History Month, where Coinbase was really launching in ways that we can help to pitch cryptocurrency can tackle racial inequality in the financial sector. And I think a couple of the really interesting things that they talked about was, some of the statistics I think were very alarming in terms of just how. That's pretty choppy. Hi, can you? Right, I'm trying to move around.
It's pretty choppy.
I am sorry. I don't know what's going on. I think it's, with everyone working from home, my internet just got worse.
It goes in and out through bad periods.
Yeah, I don't know. I've been trying to upgrade my internet access to the bandwidth a little bit, but I think it's still not too bad. So I guess without further too much, I think in the beginning of the meeting, even we got the conversation started a little bit about. I was just gonna say let's jump into the open discussion and I'll open it up to you since I think my audio isn't very good. So just to open it to the group, what are different ways that, racial injustice has occurred, that you guys have seen or have heard of, and do you think are ways to just kind of how can help be able to enable?
I'd love to hear from Alicia and Mike, what are your networks and communities talking about? What have you been feeling or hearing about in terms of, what's going on currently in our society and specifically how the technology that we all are focused on can play a part? I'd love to hear whatever you have seen or heard of.
Most of the people who I speak to in the space are in other countries. So what's going on in the US is not necessarily relevant to them. Companies I know in Indonesia and India are dealing with really different challenges right now. Yesterday I had a long call with a colleague in Delhi and was having to explain to her. I spend a lot of time explaining to people in other countries the racial injustice here and the evolution of it and trying to make it understandable to them. So I'm not really aware of what people in this country are doing around using blockchain and dealing with the injustices right now.
Yeah, and the different communities and people I'm hearing, when they hear blockchain technology and they hear the concept of it, a lot of the misconception is, so when I used to run the Blockchain for Social Impact Philadelphia one specifically, they just thought of blockchain as a pyramid scheme. and this is probably a small sample of a group, but they would believe that, oh, I just go into the system and I can receive incentives on that system, but then first adopters obviously get more, and so people would commonly mistake it for a pyramid system per se, and those are for the public blockchain type of use cases, right? I think now that the different populations and people that I'm associated with there's a big want and desire not to own data per se, but to be able to have utility of data. And I guess you could think of it maybe as ownership, but not everyone wants to own all their data because they love the convenience of being able to hold passwords, key management, all these other things. It's more of being able to be aware of where data is truly going and its life cycle of production and being able to have some type of incentivization or reward mechanism for that. That's what I'm most hearing from people that are in vulnerable populations, that are in low-income families, as well as to give more equity to that information that is being taken on them. The big movement of social determinants of health, are more people in those communities are becoming aware of it as they're having their local churches, their local community groups, their local health care associations are telling them that there's ways to be able to disclose data and then be able to be incentivized or rewarded for it in these more digital models. But then there's also a fear that, well, I don't own a cell phone, I don't own a laptop type of thing, or and how are we able to create a digital on-ramp for someone without them feeling like Big Brother is really on top of them? That is the main questions I'm hearing from folks. And it's a very tough line to draw, because obviously systems that are more binary, yes or no, they have adding in people or definitions of gray can be somewhat challenging. And unless we create an ecosystem or an environment based on blockchain to help with as a transaction layer, but also to help for veracity and provenance of data information, where it's originally coming from, and then being able to utilize that data at rest, not creating another derived set of it or another copy of it. Because then, as we see with COVID-19 data a lot, there's multiple different sources that are having different overviews of where, of what the total number of each region, each given municipality is having. If we're able to then just utilize data at its source at rest and using privacy enhancing technology to do so, that's what we at Consensus Health believe is the way to go, as using data as a utility more so. And so those are just different conversations and thoughts that we are having with private and public partnerships within large health systems, within payer networks, within you can think of it as federal entities as well. So we are trying to assess, answer, and make sense of this technology, and also the technology that's part of the Hyperledger suite. Like we're a Bazoo-based stack that's using Avalon and that's using Indie Aries Ursa for different type of use cases. And it's, I think sometimes people may get confused with all the different names that we're associating with it, right? They're like, well, why do you have five different names that just do one different solution, right? And so we're having those type of constant conversations every day. And I'm mainly having them in the United States. We're also having them in parts of Europe, parts of the Middle East, Africa, and then somewhat in the East, but not officially. And those are more or less what we're seeing today.
I could also throw a few things in.
Please.
Okay. So I'm certainly sensing a lot of skepticism out there, right? I mean, part of it is, you know, the word blockchain being associated with ICOs and for better or worse, the perception is, you know, nerds creating money out of thin air and just one more tool to increase economic inequality and increase the lack of transparency, you know, or accountability in the tech sector to social purposes. You know, I think a lot of folks have been influenced in the last 5 years or even 10 years by, you know, the outsized growth of the tech giants and the way that it seems like they've squandered the good trust and reputation that people had in them. There was an essay that keeps getting cited by folks, a book actually, Automating Inequality by Virginia Eubanks, which, you know, isn't inaccurate. I mean, in the parts that I've read, I've not digested the whole thing, and I intend to. But you know, there's a lot of places where the tech sector has broken the public trust, right, and taken advantage of its situation. And not everybody in the tech sector is equal, and I think there is a distinction between the open source side of things and the proprietary side of things, but it comes across as a not all men, you know, kind of justification, right? And a lot of that translates specifically to approaches to digital identity. You know, identity is not only key, you know, forget about blockchain or even digital, identity is key to so many of these kind of social injustice issues, and equal representation under the law and due process in all forms of the justice system. And yet, when you talk to folks about using digital identity and specifically self-sovereign digital identity as a tool of impact, there's a tremendous amount of skepticism that that tool really can create freedoms and value on behalf of the end user and not just be yet one more way in which the tech sector further enslaves us. There's been a really rocky history out there of the rollout of these digital identity tools. You can look at Aadhaar in India. You can look at, there is a project in the Netherlands to provide a persistent digital identity to people seeking social services to make it easier for them to access those services and develop a history. But it was also being used as a tool to try to predict where people would need those social services in a way that was just very poorly designed and communicated, and they ended up having a court mandate to stop that project due to what was seen as that it was using suffering from the same kind of bias issues that all of us have. So there's that wall, I think, and I don't think our technologies are self-evidently tools of liberation, nor should we have to worry about that being the impression that we leave, but we need to find ways to use these tools to actually create some value in practice rather than in theory. And I think that's what I'm wrestling with right now. And looking for examples that unequivocally have created liberation or created value for the communities that most needed it.
Yeah, you bring up a good point, because there's a couple ways we can look at this. There's the specifically addressing ideas for how to specifically address racism and injustice, but then there's also just thinking about the implicit racial bias in technology itself that we build. We all know about the examples of like the AI that doesn't see people with darker pigmentation. So thinking about how, not just how to specifically address racism, but also the projects that make sure that we aren't biased across any project, whether it be focused on social impact or not.
And Karen, the link that you sent in chat is really cool. I've been thinking, what if there were a database like this to track police violence and reports of police malfeasance that was implemented as a distributed ledger? Would there be a point to it, for one thing? And if so, what's the extra value added? Because if folks are happy creating a Google spreadsheet, to track this kind of thing, I know you have to kind of go where they are, but people are automatically imputing trust in Google that maybe is, not deserve it, right? If Google was served a cease and desist to stop doing this or otherwise pressured, they could take it down pretty quickly or pretend it never existed. I think that's a challenge with making the case for blockchain-based applications, is you really have to find a situation where there's a set of organizations that want to collaborate who don't have a pre-existing trust relationship, who aren't satisfied with trusting somebody to sit at the center, whether Google or even a well-intentioned social justice organization, and where it's meaningful to create a system of record, a single source of truth, right? And I've thought maybe it's in police violence statistics or creating kind of a shadow police misconduct database that could mirror what you would otherwise expect, governments to be tracking anyways on their own, and they probably aren't as forthcoming about. But it's this kind of thing that I'd love to see our technologies applied against, and really used as an uplift tool rather than as a get inverted to another tool of oppression.
Hey, can you guys hear me? Am I still breaking up?
Yes, we can hear you.
Awesome. So Brian, in line to what you had just talked about with the police misconduct, so I actually, I had a conversation with one of the city mayors in New York, and he actually addressed this a little bit before this, this current situation, but he was saying that, oftentimes you know, from diversity interests, where, you know, they want for there to be a open data platform where they can store the various data from all their various entities that comes together. So in one case, he's right now in the process of upgrading a lot of policemen to wear body cams. And he's looking for a solution where he could potentially store the body cam data and have those be verified on a block, you know, potentially blockchain data, and have that be, you know, publicly available so that folks have that tracking and they can verify if an incident that was reported actually did happen, and be able to, you know, also be able to use that as a single source of truth. So I don't know if that's something that, like, you know, I think you've been thinking about it a lot more than I probably have, but it was just something that happened in passing in a conversation where, you know, I'm wondering if that's something that could be, you know, have broader applications.
Yeah, it was a little garbled there. So it wasn't, I think I followed most of what you're talking about, but what was the organization you were talking to?
The city of Schenectady, actually.
Oh, interesting. Blockchains as an open data tool are interesting. One side of that is it makes it a lot harder to take data down. But that's only true to the extent that your blockchain is either a public blockchain which is actually storing the data, which is pretty expensive to do, or it's permissioned, but it's sufficiently diverse, right? So that, you know, government is publishing to it, but also other organizations. And even if the government takes their node down or censors their node, you know, the data still lives elsewhere, right? And I haven't seen a lot of use for blockchain technologies as a tool of publishing open data. In theory, it'd be really good as a way to publish hashes of open data, at the very least, to make sure that what's being shared is complete and hasn't been, you know, modified by a corrupt government, right? That still seems to elude a lot of open data advocates out there, the importance of this, right? The importance of setting things up that can't be taken down by the next administration. Something I think we all realized in 2016 was a much more serious problem than we thought it would ever be in the United States, at least. So I would be eager to connect with others on this front. There's a group called the GovLab at New York University who does a lot around open data, and I've got a few conversations with folks there, but nothing. And they've been tracking blockchain technology for social change for a while, actually. I'll send the link. Haven't pursued that there, but could be interesting.
Ryan, that's awesome. You mentioned about GovLab. I wasn't aware of that, so thank you for sharing that. We are also pretty close with Jose Arrieta and Oki Mek, who are part of HHS and created the Blockchain Accelerate program. They also have this other one for grants management use case where everyone that's under the house of NIH, HHS, CMS in general, will be able to understand where grants and money and projects are truly going to. So there's no gouging, there's no kind of upselling as far as whoever gets this grant that's funded to. And there's also some reconciliation issues that go along with that. There may not be distinctly related, but I think working with the HHS group, we could be able to correlate more and utilizing some of the base technology as part of Hyperledger as well. I think it'd be a real plus for industry too. So I'd love to understand the GovLab connection and how maybe we can help out too, and maybe how HHS can be a part of that as well.
Yeah, I talked to Jose a couple of weeks ago about some of the stuff happening there, and I'm encouraged, but HHS has their hands full right now in so many ways. I dropped a few links into chat. Related to the GovLab and data collaboratives in particular, which is kind of their framing for open data as a community good, you know, as a something that multiple people share and publish to, and where, especially when you're dealing with personally identifiable information, you might not be able to publish it publicly, but you can share it with parties who agree to confidentiality on whether on HIPAA terms or otherwise, right? Two areas I think are worth diving into. Sorry, I didn't mean to dominate the last stretch of this meeting.
Not at all. No, thank you for sharing some of these resources. I think this is definitely a great place for us to also continue the conversation with the next call. I know we only have like a minute left for this this meeting, but you know, if you guys have any more comments, what we'll probably do, I think, with the next call is probably continue this and see it. You know, what else we can come up with and think of it as a community.
Thank you for the collaboration. It's been good to know others are in this too.
Yeah, thank you for hosting us, Nancy.
Thank you all.
Thanks.
See you all in the next call.
Yep, talk to you guys soon. All right, bye.
See you soon.